Senator Friends.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant-at-Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, any discussion? All in favor say aye. All opposed say no. The motion prevails. Members, if you'd be so kind as to stand. Today's chaplain is Reverend Dr. Ken Beal, who is a retired Army chaplain from Fort Snelling Memorial Chapel. And members, following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Mindful that we Americans claim to be a nation under God and put our trust in God, let us unite together in prayer, not because it's customary for us to do so, but because it's necessary. Lord, even as we are gathered in this Senate chamber, weighed down by the issues of our state, nation, and world, convict us of our share of personal responsibility for the situation in which we find ourselves. May we confess our part in creating our dilemmas, lest we feel no obligation to solve them. May we tolerate nothing in our personal living which, if multiplied, would weaken our beloved republic. And when we feel discouraged and feel most helpless, may we turn to you for the answers that you have for every piece of legislature before us. Enable us to see issues clearly before crisis clouds them, and help us to choose the righteous course of action, lest, relying upon our own understanding, we must choose between lesser evils. Lord, as grateful citizens, we would be remiss if we did not pause to give thanks for our many soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines, some of whom are gathered in this Capitol Rotunda on this Veterans Day on the Hill. May this 1% of our citizenry, called Armed Forces Service members, who put their lives in harm's way for the remaining 99% of their fellow Americans, know us to be a grateful people. For we ask this of our Father's God to thee, who shed his grace on America and is the author of our liberty and the sole source of our inalienable rights. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, members. The secretary will take the roll.
Abler, Anderson, Barr, Bolden, Carlson, Champion, Coleman, Swadzinski, Dames, Dibble, Dornick, Dreheim, Drazkowski, Duckworth, Dietzick, Eichhorn, Farnsworth, Fate, Frentz, Green, Grunhagen, Gustafson, Hochschild, Herr, Hoffman, Housley, Howe, Jasinski, Johnson, Klein, Curran, Kroon, Kunisch, Kupek, Lang, Latz, Liske, Limmer, Lucero, Mann, Marty, Matthews, May Quaid, McEwen, Miller, Mitchell, Mohammed, Morrison, Murphy, Nelson, Umoverbaten, Pappas, Pa, Port, Pratt, Putnam, Rarick, Rasmussen, Rest, Seeberger, Utke, Weber, Wiesenberg, Westland, Westrom, Wickland, Zhang.
Thank you. Pursuant to Rule 14.1, the following members intend to vote under Rule 40.7, Dietzick and Westrom. Members, a quorum is present. Members, if you care to follow along, I am going through the Senate agenda, dated Thursday, March 30th, 2023. We will begin at the third order of business. Messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House file numbers 375, 581, 1327, 1355, and 1523. Signed, Patrick D. Murphy, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Members, no action is required. We will now proceed to the fourth order of business, first reading of House bills. The House files have been given their first reading and referred as indicated. Members, we will now proceed to the fifth order of business, report of committees. Members, there is one report to be read. Senator Morrison, for the motion to adopt committee reports after the secretary reports and reads the motion.
Senator Marty from the Committee on Finance, to which was re-referred House File Number 19, a bill for an act relating to employment, providing for earned sick and safe time, adding a district court judge to the 9th Judicial District. Reports the same back with the recommendation that House File Number 19, the first unofficial engrossment, be amended as follows. And when so amended, the bill do pass.
Thank you for reading the committee report. Now, Senator Morrison for a motion to adopt the committee reports.
Mr. President, I move the committee reports printed in the agenda and the report read by the secretary be adopted, and I do request a roll call.
Roll call requested, a roll call granted. Any discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll. Members, please vote. Senator Murphy, for those voting under Rule 40.7? I think not. Senator Bowden, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. I report that Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye. Members, please vote.
Mr. President.
Senator Zizinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Senator Westrum votes aye.
Senator Westrum votes aye. All senators having voted who desires to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There have been 42 ayes and 20 noes. The motion prevails. Members, we will now move to the sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. The secretary will read the Senate file numbers.
Senate file numbers 1819, 1824, 2114, and 2042.
The Senate files have been given their second reading. Members, we will now proceed to the seventh order of business, second reading of House bills. The Secretary will read the House file numbers.
House file numbers 1656 and 19.
The House files have been given their second reading. Members, we will now proceed to the eighth order of business, which is the introduction of first reading of Senate bills. The bills listed on today's introduction calendar are given their first reading and referred as indicated. Members, we will now proceed to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. We will adopt the author's motion as one motion. All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Senate Resolution Number 30 will be referred to the Committee on Rules and Administration. We will now move and remain in the same space. The Secretary will report Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4.
Senators Dietzick, Johnson, and Morrison introduced Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 4, a Senate Concurrent Resolution relating to adjournment for more than 3 days.
Senator Morrison. Senator Morrison,
Mr. President, are we doing the concurrent resolution?
We are, Senator Morrison.
Mr. President, I move Senate concurrent resolution number 4 be adopted.
To the resolution, Senator Morrison.
Mr. President, we need to pass this to accommodate the legislative break next week where we will not meet for 3 days.
Thank you, Senator Morrison. Seeing no any discussion? Seeing no further discussion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. Remaining under the order of business of motions and resolutions, Senator Morrison to designate special orders.
Mr. President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate the following bill be made a special order for immediate consideration.
And members, the special orders list is on your desk. We will now take up Senate file number 1213. Senator Umu Verbaden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate file 1213 is really a simple administrative change to how the MnState system classifies its employees. And I just want to note up front that this bill represents an agreed upon change between the administration, the faculty unions of MnState colleges and universities as well. So under our current statute, faculty that teach courses only under the summer months do not qualify for union representation, and this bill just fixes that. It expands union representation to MnState faculty that only teach courses during the summer. And when the Public Employee Labor Relations Act was first passed in 1974, the summer courses were sort of rare. Now there's a lot more folks that are teaching in the summer, and it's primarily adjunct faculty that are going to be eligible for this union representation. So this change ensures that those summer faculty receive the same benefits and protections. Those are things like guaranteed minimum pay, tuition waivers, paid leave, professional development. And the bill does that simply by expanding the definition of the threshold from the academic year to the calendar year. The bill also maintains the existing minimum threshold required to qualify for union representation. So once a faculty member teaches more than 3 credits or 2 or more classes in a calendar year, they're then included in the bargaining unit determined by the Public Employee Relations Act. It doesn't require anyone to join the union. It just requires that the bargaining units represent all faculty who meet this criteria. And according to MnState, this change will impact roughly 84 faculty members across two bargaining units. There's no fiscal impact, and the faculty already receive the minimum pay set forth in the union contract. So it's really the inclusion of the other benefits, small number of impacted faculty, and because of that, they don't expect that there's going to be any additional cost for MnState. So again, MnState agrees to this. The bargaining units, I think this is long overdue and just ensures that those folks have union representation. I do have a small technical amendment that I'd like to bring forward, the A2 amendment.
Senator Umu Verbaden offers the A2 amendment. The secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Umu Verbaden moves to amend Senate file number 1213 as follows. Page 3, line 10, after more, insert credit bearing. This is the A2 amendment.
Senator Umu Verbaden, to your A2 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. President. So this amendment just adds the word credit bearing to the language to really ensure that the scope of the definition is narrow and expands this representation to those summer-only faculty. And it was requested by the MnState system. It also includes an immediate effective date so that the bargaining units can begin representing folks this summer, 2023.
Any other discussions to the A2 amendment? A roll call requested. Roll call. Did you request a roll call on A2, Senator Umu Verbaden?
Yes, Mr. President.
Roll call requested. Roll call granted. Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just have one simple question for the bill's author, if she would yield.
Senator Umu Verbaden will yield. Senator Duckworth.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Umu Verbaden. Just curious, first off, you answered several questions that I did have, so thank you for that. But regarding the potential cost to the state or a fiscal impact, I'm just curious, do you foresee or will this have any impact regarding some of the pension funds as it relates to these folks if their ability to join the union is expanded. Thank you.
To the question, Senator Umover-Baden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Duckworth, for the question. Again, the bill does not have a fiscal impact, and MnState and the bargaining units work together on this. They don't anticipate any additional costs.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Umover-Baden please yield for a question?
She will yield. Senator Pratt.
Thank you. Senator, just a quick clarifying question. While I understand the claim that there's no fiscal cost, are these employees currently or will they now be eligible for state pensions?
Senator Umover-Baden, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Pratt, for the question. So again, these faculty are teaching classes during the summer. When they're eligible for that union representation, that could include receiving the same benefits and protections, but it is the estimate of MnState that there wouldn't be much of an impact because this is under the Public Employee Relations Act. I believe that, you know, they're public employees and then would receive public pensions. I don't have the exact statute that would fall under.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the good senator yield for another question?
Senator Umover-Baden will yield for another question. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Wood, so once these employees become public employees and are now eligible for the pension, will they be starting and contributing now, or will they be given credit for past service?
Senator Umover-Baden, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Pratt, for the question. I am just verifying some of that information with the bargaining units, and it's their understanding that because this is impacting roughly 84 faculty, that might be that's too few to be added to the pensions. So that shouldn't be the case.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator French yield for a question?
Senator French, will you yield? He will yield. Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator, as chair of the Pensions Committee, I just wanted to verify with you that there will be no impact to the pension that the state will have to make up on account of these employees having their classification or being reclassified.
Senator French, to the question.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Pratt. I'm glad to report. I think that is a good question, although it's Chair Kalee Herr from the House who's actually chairing our pension commission for us. The inter-faculty organization informs me that on both sides this was unanimously agreed to and that the pension impact is not one that the plan directors have expressed any concern about, so passed unanimously, and that's my understanding of its impact on pensions. Therefore, full support for Senator Umover-Baden's bill. Not just the pension aspect, but everything she's trying to accomplish. Thank you, Senator Pratt.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Friends, thanks for the correction. Not that I'm trying to disrespect our colleague in the other body, but I always assume the Senate's in charge.
Any additional questions? Senator, or discussion? Senator Pappas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to follow up, it's like, Senator Pratt, it's like an IRAP, an IRA that they would be eligible for, a defined contribution plan. So it's just their own money that would be invested. And Mr. Senator President, I have a question for Senator Umover-Baden. I just want to clarify, because this came up earlier, you mentioned that it was adjunct faculty, it just works in the summer, but I think according to my information, it's any adjunct faculty. If you do a class in the fall or the spring, you still would be eligible to be included in the bargaining unit. So I just want to make sure that that's correct and that we clarify that. Thank you.
Senator Verbaden, will you yield for a question? She will yield for a question. Senator Verbaden.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, that's correct.
Senator Klein.
Thank you, Mr. President. And the question before the body right now is the A2 amendment. We seem to be debating the underlying bill. I would like to request a roll call on the A2 amendment.
Roll call. Requested roll call granted. Any further discussion? Seeing none, the secretary will take the roll on the A2 amendment. Members, please vote. Senator Boden, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. I report that Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye. Senator Jasinski, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Western votes no.
Senator Western votes no. All senators having voted who desires a vote, the secretary will close the roll. With 52 ayes and 12 noes, the amendment is adopted. Third reading. Third reading.
Senate File Number 1213, a bill for an act relating to labor, modifying certain exclusions to the definition of public employee.
Third reading. Any discussion? Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author yield for a question?
Senator Verbatim, she will yield for a question. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Verbatim, do the people who are members of the union currently receive any different compensation than these 84 members that you're attempting to add into the union?
Senator Verbatim, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President, and Senator Drazkowski for the question. So the affected faculty are already receiving the minimum pay set forth in the contracts, but because they're not eligible for the full union representation, there are other things like tuition waivers and paid leave and professional development that they would have access to.
Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Verbatim, I don't know what the advantage would be to the individual in the union. It sounds like maybe they could go to some training or something. But obviously, we are seeing a series of bills, Mr. President and Senator Verbatim, that the majority is bringing through to strengthen unions in Minnesota, to add more members to them, to reduce reporting, to reduce confirmation of contracts by the Minnesota legislature and other things, and this is still yet one more in that. I'd have another question, Mr. President, for the author, if she would yield again.
Senator Verbatim will yield for a question. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Verbatim, what does, within the IFO organization, if I am a member, if I'm one of those 84 union members or potential union members under this bill, can you walk through for us how they would become members and upon becoming members, how they would opt out?
Senator Verbatim, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Drazkowski, for the question. Again, this bill is not requiring anyone to join the union. It's just letting them be eligible. So through the same regular process of collective bargaining. They could decide to become members of the union or they could decide not to, but this bill does not change that. It does not require anyone to join a union.
Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would the author yield again, Mr. President?
Senator Verbatim will yield for a question. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, Senator, can you tell us, so if I am one of these adjunct professors at a Minnesota State College, and I want to join the IFO union after your bill passes, how do I do that? And then after I become a member, how do I undo that?
Senator Verbatim, to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Drazkowski. To join the union, you would sign the card. That's how you join.
Senator Drazkowski.
Would she yield one more time, Mr. President?
Will you yield for another question? Senator Umu Verbaden will yield for another question. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Umu Verbaden. So they would fill out a card and join the union. How would they unsubscribe from the union? We have this Supreme Court decision called Janus. And some of these unions, Senator, have developed very difficult approaches for individuals to unsubscribe. Can you tell us how it's handled within the IFO union?
Senator Umu Verbaden to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. You would submit a written letter. And there is a drop period to do so. I believe it's from April 1st to June 15th.
Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think I heard May 1st through June 13th or something like that. So members, thank you, Senator Umu Verbaden. So members, there is a hoop that's being put together by these unions making it difficult for people to jump out of them. I don't see a lot of benefit to this. Certainly, the contributions by unions to Democrats and their political organizations, Mr. President, is very well documented. And this is yet another pile of originally taxpayer money that will then be taken from the hardworking Minnesotans among this 84 member, potential membership class that's being added in here, and then become political contributions for the Democrats, Mr. President. That's really the main reason I'm against this bill. I'm wondering, one more question for the author, if she'd yield, Mr. President.
Senator Umu Verbaden will yield for another question. Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Umu Verbaden, are there any faculty left that don't have an opportunity to join the union after your bill, or does this fully capture all of the union member or all of the faculty within the IFO union?
Senator Umu Verbaden to the question.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Senator Drazkowski, for the question. Again, this bill does not require anyone to join the union, so it allows folks to be eligible for union representation. No one is required to do so.
Senator Drazkowski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Well, I didn't get the answer to my question, Mr. President, but it appears from the bill that that we have found all of the instructors and all of the people who could potentially join this union in the bill, and the majority here is attempting to herd them all into the union in order to maximize output or throughput. I can understand that. I'm curious if the kids in the schools are going to be the next ones to be unionized, Mr. President, but I say that tongue-in-cheek and encourage members to vote no on the bill. Thank you.
The secretary would take the roll on final passage of Senate File 1213 as amended.
Mr. President.
Senator Fateh.
Thank you, Mr. President. I just wanted to make one quick remark. Senate File 1213 is a simple yet important fix to close a loophole in our definition of public employee. This bill allows adjunct faculty and summer faculty who teach at the Minnesota State System to receive the same union representation as all other faculty. Higher education does not look the same as it once did. A lot of crucial instruction our students receive happens over the summer or in less traditional settings. The faculty providing this instruction are essential to the success of all students in the Minnesota State System, and we owe it to them to treat them fairly. This will ensure that all faculty members have the opportunity to receive the same benefits and protections regardless of the part of the academic year that they teach in. As the chair of higher education, I want to thank Senator Umu Verbaden and the advocates from the IFO and the Minnesota State College faculty for their hard work to move this bill forward, and I encourage all members to vote green. Thank you.
The secretary will take the roll on final passage of Senate File 1213 as amended. Members, please vote. Senator, Senator Boden, for those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. I report that Senator Dietzick votes aye.
Senator Dietzick votes aye. Senator Jasinski, those voting under Rule 40.7.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Western votes no.
Senator Western votes no. Members, please vote. All senators having voted who desires a vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 44 ayes and 20 noes, the bill passed and its title agreed to. Members, we will now go to the 13th order of business. Announcements of Senate interest. Without objection, the following senators will be excused from today's session. Lang, Latz, Alday, Farnsworth, 11:30 to the end. Any additional announcements? Senator Jasinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. I know it's far in advance, but I want to give people a reminder. This year's annual I-90 party is being scheduled for Monday, May 1st. Starts at about approximately 4:30 p.m. It's at CHS Field here in St. Paul. I know we work hard all session long. Sometimes we have disagreements, but this is the one night we can enjoy each other's company. And set our differences aside. I hope you attend the event. We'll be having pork producers and Shell's beer, and there'll be all kinds of things. There's a $10 donation being asked to join the event, but I hope you can all attend. For you new members that are here the first year, it's a very good event, great venue, and it's a nice evening, so thank you.
Any additional announcements of Senate interest? Any additional announcements of Senate interest? Seeing none, Senator Morrison.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate do now adjourn until Monday, April 3rd at 12 noon.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. The motion prevails. The Senate is now adjourned.